May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. Hymn 1108.
Together this evening from God's holy word, the second book of Samuel, chapter 12. The second book of Samuel, chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he had done this thing, and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord, to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbour, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, for thou didst it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted, and went in, and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose, and went to him, to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David, and said, "I have fought against Rabbah, and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore, gather the rest of the people together, and encamp against the city, and take it, lest I take the city, and it be called after my name." And David gathered all the people together, and went to Rabbah, and fought against it, and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought forth the people that were therein, and put them under saws, and under harrows of iron, and under axes of iron, and made them pass through the brick kiln. And thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. May God bless to us the reading of his word and teach us to pray. Dear Lord, almighty God in heaven above, we do seek thy help to come before thee in prayer this evening hour. We do, Lord, thank thee for thy many mercies to us in gathering us together here. We pray thy presence and thy blessing. Lord, leave us not to ourselves. May it be a noise that Jesus is in the house. Lord, we believe thou art with thy people when they gather in thy name. We pray that we might feel it in a special way this evening. And Lord, we thank thee for the throne of grace. We thank thee for that way made through the wondrous love of the Lord Jesus, that guilty sinners such as I might plead thy gracious name. Lord, we thank thee that poor sinners are welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. We thank thee that there is that access unto the Father. And so, Lord, teach us to pray. Keep us from empty prayers, from prayerless prayers, from merely a prayer of words. Help us, O Lord, to pour out our hearts before thee this evening. Thou knowest how we have come, what we need, those things that trouble us and perplex us and concern us. Lord, help us to lay all these things at thy feet. Give us faith in our prayers, to believe that thou art able to do those things that seem impossible to us. Lord, we thank thee for thy precious word that we have before us. We thank thee that it is freely available to us, faithfully translated. And we pray for each of us and each one who gathers here, as it might be made truly precious to us, that we might find from time to time that bread of life sent down from heaven, that might be that food for our never dying souls. Lord, may it be so, if it could please thee even this evening. Lord, if there are those who come craving a crumb of mercy, Lord, we are thankful to have sung of the open door of thy mercy. Lord, if there are any here this evening or listening in who feel to be at the very ends of the earth, may it be from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Lord, draw near. Do grant thy blessing and thy peace. Lord, if there is a hungry, thirsty soul, may they not be sent empty away. Lord, may none of us be sent empty away. Lord, whatever we need, may we find that it is stored up in the fullness that is found in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for every providential blessing that we enjoy. We thank thee for our food, our clothes, our loved ones, our homes. Lord, often things that we take for granted. Help us to give thee the glory that is due unto thy name. Help us to bear before thee those who have less than we do. And we pray, O Lord, for thy continued mercies to us. Go before us each in the way before us. Do supply all our needs according to thy riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. We do seek thy blessing upon the church and people here. We pray do follow with thy blessing the services yesterday. We pray for the dear friend, thy servant. We do remember him and help him and his wife. Lord, we pray that his labours might not be in vain. And we pray that there might be something that remains in the hearts of one and another. Lord, we pray here in this house of prayer week by week that there might be those tokens of thy work, that evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit. May it be according unto the word that I covenanted with you. So that my spirit remaineth amongst you. Fear ye not. Lord, how we long to see more of the work of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Dispel the darkness from our minds. Open all our eyes. What we would pray for here, we would pray for each place where thy people gather. Those chapels nearby to here, and those further away. We do pray, O Lord, that in this coming year we might see a building up in Zion, Lord, as thou hast promised. Lord, thou hast promised there shall be showers of blessing. We pray, Lord, that we might see it, that we might feel it in our hearts, the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich. Lord, we would bring each one here before thee, those unable to be here. We pray for thee, the young people, the children. We thank thee for them. We thank thee that they are found in thy house. We pray to remember them, and those who have to stay at home this evening, Lord, do remember each one. Do help them at school, their education. Help them at home, in the family. Go before them in all that they have to face. Lord, keep them from the many evils and temptations that abound. May they be taught early to call upon thee, to find that there is a God in heaven who loves to hear the prayers even of little children. We pray for parents, who give them wisdom and help in all the many concerns that they have. Lord, we pray for those in the midst of life with the burdens of the day, of business, the family, all these various things that come. Lord, help us to cast our care upon thee. We pray for those in older age, those whether older or younger who have affliction. We pray, O Lord, that thy blessing might be upon them. And may they be enabled to say it was good for me to be afflicted. May there be a sanctifying effect in these things. And those who come to the end of their days, Lord, none of us truly know when the end shall come. But for those for whom the end must be near, may they feel thee to be the very present. May they be found waiting upon thee, ready to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. And Lord, we pray it might be so for each of us, that we are found prepared for that great day. And then, Lord, do wash us in thy precious blood, take all our sins away. We pray thy blessing in the church. Do give help to the deacons in their labours week by week. Do strengthen them, give them wisdom and help. We pray that there might be unity and peace in the church and congregation. And it might be to seek peace and pursue it, that each one might be found looking not on their own things, but considering others better than themselves, each one looking alone unto Jesus. Or may there be that golden chain of love flowing amongst them. May there be those added to the church, such as are saved. Lord, may the captives be set free. Stir up any yet dead in sins and unconcern. Lord, may there be hope for the downcast, hope for those who feel to be passed by. May it be that hope in the God of Israel, that hope which maketh not ashamed, that good hope through grace, that hope even for the vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need. Lord, then let thy work appear. May there be many tokens here and elsewhere. Lord, we would pray for each of thy servants who preach in thy name, wherever thy people gather. We pray, O Lord, that thy name might be glorified. We pray for thy people in other lands, those churches known to us, the missionaries. We pray for thee, the work of the Mombasa Mission especially, and the changes that must come. Lord, do go before them, and do bless thy word still to thee, the salvation of many. And those, Lord, who suffer greatly for thy name's sake, and those who perhaps meet in fear of their lives, and Lord, how we can take for granted the freedom that we have here. We pray that it might ever be maintained to us, and that those who do suffer might be given boldness and strength to stand. Lord, we pray that thy word might be fulfilled. The more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew. And Lord, we think also of those who and the persecutors. Lord, do awaken them. We pray that there might be that the work of thy Spirit in many hearts, the time of revival in the earth. Lord, how we need it in these days of judgment, days of sadness, days of difficulty, days of confusion. May there yet be, Lord, a day of revival, of turning again unto thee, in confession, in seeking thy forgiveness. So, Lord, do have mercy upon us, upon our leaders, the royal family, those in the government and parliament. Do help them to do what is right. And those evil things that are proposed and promoted, that would be brought into law. Lord, we pray that these things might be overturned, that our freedom of religion and speech, freedom to do that which is commanded in thy word, might be maintained to us. And those many evil laws that we have now on our statute books, Lord, we pray that they might be overturned. Lord, we can easily be disheartened, discouraged. Help us to look to thee, to remember that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, that thou art in control. Lord, there now we come to thy word. Lord, we need thy help. We ask that we might feel thy presence. Keep us from anything wrong in thy sight. Keep us from ourselves. Lord, may thy word be blessed to us each. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Do forgive our poor prayers, all we may have asked for amiss. and forgive our every sin. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let's continue with hymn 711. 711. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Hymn 711.
dependence upon the Lord for his help, I would ask you to turn to the chapter that we read, the second book of Samuel, chapter 12, and reading verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Here, in this verse, we have a summary of gospel truths. Here in this verse, we have the essence of real religion. What do I mean? We have a guilty sinner brought to feel that he is such, finding forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. I was thinking in the vestry of the 130th Psalm, and there we have those words, the psalmist there feeling to be a sinner. And he says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? Well, none of us here can say that we have not sinned. None of us here could say that we could stand before a holy God and say that we have not sinned. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And that is your hope and mine. That is our only hope. There is forgiveness with thee. The psalmist goes on to say how he waits for it. Wait for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And David found it to be so. I have sinned against the Lord. Well, the account that we read, I'm sure you know well, but just briefly, David had sinned in the matter of Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. Sent Uriah into the hottest part of the battle because he wanted Uriah's wife for himself. And we read at the end of the preceding chapter the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And so the Lord sent Nathan really to speak this parable unto him, to show him his sin. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he speaks this, the parable of the two men, the one rich and the other poor. And David was very angry. Really, he was vehement in his anger against this man. This man shall surely die. How solemn, how searching the words of Nathan. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. I just want to mention this briefly in passing. What a lesson this is for us. It's very easy for us to see sins in others. It's very easy for us to see faults in others. Physician, heal thyself. It's very easy to sit in judgment upon others. How we need, as the Lord Jesus said, to cast the beam out of our own eyes. We have to look within our own hearts. Thou art the man. And so Nathan reminds David the Lord's goodness to him, all the things that he had been given. He even says, if that had not been enough, I would have given you more. Why hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? And so there was that punishment that came upon him, and that promise of those the judgments that would come in his own household, and not only be done in secret, but done in the open. And here David speaks, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, it's very striking to me. Here, David, he doesn't say very much, but he says enough. And what he says is very real. And when we think of ourselves, perhaps we have been brought to see that we are sinners. That is the vital point for each of us, to know that we are sinners. That is the beginning of all these things. Can we say like David, I have sinned? In another place, I think it was after he numbered the people, David said, I have sinned greatly. Now, I want to hold you to this point this evening. Have you come to this place in your religion, as it were, where you have to say, I have sinned? And you say, well, we've been taught that we are sinners, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But do you know it? Do you feel it? Is it a trouble to you? Is it a burden to you? Is it a weight upon you? I have sinned. I have sinned. And when we consider this verse this evening, we may well consider it in the beginning of a work of grace. Someone brought to a realization of their sin for the first time. We may also consider it for one who has been in the way, but like David, fallen into backsliding, fallen into sin, and having to be brought to confess it. I have sinned. We think of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. He went off into a far country. He tried to do all those things that pleased his own flesh. But there came a time when he began to be in want. And now have you begun to be in want? You find that these things, the best that this world can give you, will never truly satisfy. You have been brought to see, give me Christ, or else I die. He began to be in want. And what was his resolve? I will rise and go unto my father's house and say, I have sinned. Just as David said here, I have sinned. No more worthy to be called thy son. But as we may be able to consider later, what a loving welcome he received. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. But to come back to what I said, he didn't say much. And sometimes we are prone to say too much. What do I mean? He didn't say, oh, I've sinned, but it was this person that made me do it. He didn't say, like Eve, the serpent did this, he beguiled me. It wasn't really my fault. I have sinned, but is that how you and I are at times? He confessed openly that he had sinned. He did not try to hide from it. He did not try to make any excuses or blame anyone else. I have sinned. He didn't even say, I have sinned against Uriah, against Bathsheba. I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned. The vital point was this confession. It was very real. It was very heartfelt. We only have to consider the psalm that he wrote at this time, Psalm 51, that very well-known psalm, to see that this was a real confession. This was real sorrow, real mourning over sin. I acknowledge my transgression. Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And so, as you probably know that psalm well, David confessed he had sinned. He asked the Lord for his forgiveness. And David said, I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Thou shalt not die. And so the vital point for us to begin with this evening, have we been brought to this place where we can say like David, like the prodigal, I have sinned. I have sinned. You know, there's a hymn that I seem to quote more often than not in trying to preach. And one of the verse ends like this. It's a question that I put to you each this evening. Do I feel my need of Christ to save me from my sin? Do you feel your need of Christ to save you from your sin? Well, it's a good evidence, a good mark, if you do truly feel that need. And that is why I say this is a gospel truth. Because we have here a poor guilty sinner seeking forgiveness. And there is that certainty that those who look to the Lord seeking that forgiveness, it will be, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So I want particularly this evening, with the Lord's help, to think of the latter part of this verse. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. And you know, as I've been trying to think about this, I have been thinking what this verse does not say. It does not say, the Lord also hath put away the sinner. It does not say that. It says, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. What do we have in one of the very last chapters of the Old Testament? He hates, the God of Israel hates to put away. Yes, that verse in the context speaks of those who would divorce their wives in the dark days in which Malachi prophesied. But so it is true with the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his church, his bride. he hates to put away. In the Old Testament there was that law. There were those words in Deuteronomy, I think, chapter 24, concerning a bride who was put away for her uncleanness. What a difference we have here in the gospel. He hates to put away. The bride comes in all her uncleanness, all her filthiness, all her sin, confessing, I have sinned. And they find in the Lord Jesus a fountain opened. And what was that fountain open for? For sin and for uncleanness. Do we have any unclean sinners here this evening? The Lord Jesus died for those who feel to be so. Those who feel to be unclean, like the leper, had to go around calling out unclean, unclean. And perhaps that is your cry of another leper that we read. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So as David came unto the Lord confessing his sin, he sought that the Lord would forgive him. He found the Lord did not put away him, did not send him away, but he found a place of forgiveness. He hates to put away. He found, to speak of it in a New Testament verse, that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There is the mark. There is the evidence of one who has been brought to feel that they are sinners. They come to the Lord. They return unto him. They perhaps come to him for the first time. But there is that coming. It was the evidence that Ananias was given concerning Saul. Behold, he prayeth. How is it with you and me this evening? Can it be said, behold, he prayeth. Behold, she prayeth. Young ones as well as older ones. We're not too young to pray. We're not too young to be brought to feel our need and to see the Lord for his forgiveness. And so we have it in John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me, they shall come. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He hates to put away. I think it was John Bunyan said there have been some wretched hymns, some very vile hymns, some sinful hymns that have come to the Lord Jesus. But not one of them has ever been cast out. What a mercy. We read, or rather we sang at the beginning of that door of mercy. You know that door is still open. Open for unclean sinners. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That those who see the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. The Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And so, what a mercy, it doesn't say the Lord hath put away the sinner. But this blessed truth, this gospel truth, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. You know, David deserved to die according to the law. He had broken the sixth and seventh commandments. Each of us have broken all the commandments, whether in action or thought. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And so, as we think of this, where the Lord hath put away thy sin. How was it possible for David? How is it possible for you and me this evening that our sins should be put away? Well, we have that lovely word in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. How that chapter speaks of the Lord Jesus as the High Priest of the Better Testament, the New Covenant. And how the Lord Jesus made himself the offering for sin. He must have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, very searching that, just to mention in passing, these words written nearly 2,000 years ago, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin. He appeared, the Lord Jesus appeared, came down to this earth, as a baby, lived a pure and spotless holy life, and yet a life of suffering, a life of rejection, a life of sorrow. And now he hath appeared to put away sin. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus came down to this earth, to put away sin. And how was it to be done? By the sacrifice of himself. Not like the high priest in the Old Testament who went in and made an offering for his own sins and also for the sins of the people. The Lord Jesus, he came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Not his own sins, of which he had none, but the sins of poor, unclean sinners, those who were brought to come to him, to call upon him, to seek that forgiveness. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, to lay down his life for his people, for his friends. This glorious high priest, this one who had done nothing amiss, this one who came into his own and his own received him not, this one who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet, to all eternity, there was that love, that everlasting love to a poor people, chosen, redeemed, called. And for these he would come, to this end that he might put away sin, even to the laying down of his life, the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die. As we said, David, he deserved to die. By the law he was guilty of death. For each of us, we are appointed to die. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That day, whether it be our death or the Lord's second coming, it will come sooner or later to us each. Do we have a hope in this one who has put away sin? Are we ready to meet God? Are we made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? And so Christ, it was once offered. Once we have to die. Christ, by his one offering, forever put away sin. And so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Not of all, but of many. and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now then, how many of us does this little word describe? Them that look for him. It's very easy in our lives with how many things we have to do and we're busy. But are we looking for him? With all our different things in our lives, have we seen that one thing and only one thing is needful? Unto them that look for him. Do we have that resolve of which we read in Isaiah? And, you know, this is a good resolution for us. Not that we can keep any resolutions ourselves. But in Isaiah we have this. I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him. For him. And the Lord perhaps appears to hide his face to you from time to time. Perhaps Satan tempts you to give up and call no more on Jesus' name. But you have this word before you in the perfect, inerrant word of God. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Well, David here, he had sinned greatly. He knew what it was to feel to be a great sinner. And yet, when the Lord Jesus, in love to his poor, sinful people, laid down his life, he made atonement for all sin. For the very vilest sins of his people. For the very blackest sins of those who are brought to look to him in confession, seeking repentance and forgiveness. Christ hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And in that sacrifice there had to be the bloodshed, for without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin. But that precious blood of Christ that was shed, it cleanseth from all sin. From all sin. A hymn, it comes to my mind, perhaps you know the hymn, it speaks of Christ really as our advocate. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Well, do you know what that feels like? The hymn goes on to say, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Every single one, the blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin, because as it was, in, as we thought of just a moment ago, in the will of the Father, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down to suffer, bleed and die for his people. The Lord also hath put away sin. It would be a wonderful blessing if this evening even just one of you would feel the truth of this in your heart, where the Lord would apply this word to you. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. You notice how personal it is. It wouldn't have done David any good to hear that someone else, their sins have been washed away. It was personal. He wanted it for himself. The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. And, you know, it's on my mind that verse that comes at the, again, almost at the end of the Old Testament, concerning how the Lord puts away sin. It comes in the last chapter of the book of Micah. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. And Satan tells you that he will retain his anger forever. The blessings that you read of in the Word of God are not for one such as you. That's what he says. But he was a liar from the beginning. And what does the Word of God say? To those who look to him, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Every single one, never to be seen again, because he has borne that sin upon himself. In putting away sin, he took the sins of each of his people, and he bore the punishment instead of them. As it is written, he hath borne the curse for his people. As it was written, so cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. That curse that is due to each of us. And yet, if we are among his people, he has borne the curse for us. They will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, be merciful to their unrighteousness. We have right here in our text, mercy. Oh, be merciful, says the Lord, to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. And so, as David found that forgiveness, as we mentioned the prodigal son, when he returned, he did not expect to be treated with such a loving welcome. And yet he found the father ran out to meet him and killed the fatted calf and so on. That one who said, I have sinned. And yet, as he was unable to return to his father's house, he found forgiveness, he found love, he found the love of his father to him had not changed. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Well, just a few thoughts in closing upon this last part. Thou shalt not die. How is that true for every child of God, for everyone who is brought to look unto him for salvation? It is as we think of the Lord Jesus in laying down his life. Yet, we say it very reverently, we don't hear today worship a dead Christ, but we worship one who died and rose again. One who said, because I live, ye shall live also. That is our hope of eternal life. That is our hope of heaven at last. The Lord Jesus, in laying down his life and rising again the third day, ascending up into heaven. Because I live, ye shall live also. Thou shalt not lie. Eternal life at his request to every saint is given, safety on earth and after death, the plenitude of heaven. Well, David knew what trouble and sorrow was here below. even in the chapter that we read, he knew great sorrow, great sadness. In the following chapter especially, we read of the great evil and trouble that there was in his family. And yet he found at the end of all these things that hope of eternal life. Certainly not because of any good that he had done. He had to confess that I have sinned, but because the Lord had put away his sin, but because the Lord had said to him, thou shalt not die, because he had that hope of eternal life, that hope of heaven, that place where there shall be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more pain, the former things are passed away, no more darkness, for the Lord himself, the Lamb, shall be the light thereof. And now David, to all eternity, worships the Lamb of God there. What a mercy if you and I should be found amongst them, the redeemed of the Lamb, those who are brought to see that they are sinners, those who find there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Well, may each of us be found looking unto him. Be among those who look for him, to whom he shall appear without sin unto salvation. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Chapman next Friday evening of next week. Let us close with hymn 328. 328. Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near, thy Saviour's gracious promise hear. His faithful word declares to thee that as thy days, thy strength shall be. In 328.
Dear Lord, we ask for thy forgiveness of anything amiss in thy sight this evening. We pray that thy word might abide with us, Lord, that each one of us might be found looking unto thee, looking unto Christ alone, and find that there is forgiveness with thee. Prepare us each for our end, and Lord, do go before us each in this week. Help us in all things. Do, Lord, now take us each in safety. Pardon our every sin, and now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.